Hey, all good listeners, welcome to India Startup Talk. I want to thank you, particularly the people who have returned to my podcast, the India Startup Talk podcast, for some more wisdom and ideas, and also to people who have joined for the first time, thank you. And for the benefit of those who are new to my podcast, I want to tell you that I talk about fundamental issues in early stage startups. This way you can gain some wisdom from knowledge that has been garnered from other folks and the industry in general. So hope that you find these useful. So let's come to today's topic, which is continuing on the investability framework. Now, if you recall, I have coined this term to determine whether your startup is investment worthy, right? So as a idea of a framework stands, and particularly management consultants love these ideas, is put some kind of a procedural assessment or a tool to systematically and in a quantifiable term get some answers. So the investability framework in that sense gives you some quantifiable means to see if your investment can attract investment, sorry, if your startup can attract investments. So this is why one of the reasons why investors love companies that are into software, like SaaS software, that's an extremely scalable solution, because you write the software once and then you can sell many, many times over without having to put additional effort, and except for, of course, if you're enhancing the features of the software, but that's not high cost. So it's not like, you know, producing widgets in a factory where the more you produce, the more, you know, raw materials go into it, more electricity, more labor goes into it. And software is a phenomenally scalable type of product. Okay, so that's the explanation for that third part of your scalability framework. The last one here is the cost of customer acquisition. Okay, now, apart from everything else, there is this effort, a pretty big part of your effort, I would like to say, any startup has to do, is to acquire customers, the marketing effort that is required. The effort is usually very important, or how you're doing it. You have to be extremely efficient, because you can't be spending too many dollars. And that's what this test is. I believe, you know, in my own estimate, that cost of what you spend to advertise and go out and get customers, or go-to-market strategy, GTM is the term. The GTM cost component should not exceed 5 to max 20% of your selling price of your product or service. Now, if you blow that margin, you're eating into your profitability. Of course, that's the problem, right? And you will soon realize that GTM is not a trivial thing. I did a whole podcast on it. Please go and listen to that, what GTM entails. But essentially, it means the more efficient you are in terms of marketing your product, efficient as in terms of the cost you put in to the results you get in, that kind of efficiency, the better it is, the more powerful your GTM is. To give you an example, right, I came across a medical device startup that had created a pretty unique product, but they were finding it difficult to sell because it was such a new thing and, you know, it needed a lot of customer education. So what they did was created another low-cost product, pretty low, you know, it was pretty cheap, you know, like 2,000 rupees. And that was an easy sell because everybody needed that product, but that was not going to make them money. They were using as a means to open doors in hospital to get to know them. And once they sold them that low-cost product, they started talking about their other product. And because they already had a relationship with them, it was making it a lot easier to sell the product into more and more hospitals. So that was a clever GTM or go-to-market strategy. So in summary, investability framework, okay, the overarching investability framework, which is, this is the series of four podcasts that I'm doing. The first one I talked about was product market fit. The second one was scalability, which was this podcast. We are going to talk about in the third part about how defendable or the moat factor of your product or service. And the final one, will the fourth part, will be about your team's capability to execute. I call it the team test. So look out for the remaining two podcasts. And I hope this was useful for you. Have a great startup journey. And if you have any questions, send me an email at sn@zenesysconsulting.com. Zenesys Consulting, one word. And look forward to it. Until next time. Bye for now. So a quick recap on the framework. This is part two of the investability framework series. In part one, we covered the aspect of product market fit. Quite simply put, it was a methodology or a framework or a test to determine if your product is actually something that customers would like to buy. Quite simply put, in plain English, that was a test to determine if the product or service that you're selling, whether or not there is a actual market, meaning will customers be willing to pay for your product. So that was that test. So if you are curious and you haven't listened to it, go back and listen to that first part on the product market fit podcast. So we are now going to get into the second leg of the investability framework, the second leg being the scalability test. And just for your edification, there are two more parts to the investability framework, a total four, right? The first one was, as I said, product market fit. And this one is going to be about the scalability test. The one after this will be the moat test or defendability test. And the fourth one will be the team in your startup, the team test. So those are the four things, right? So let's move on and get into the main topic of today, which is the scalability leg of the investability framework. Now, this scalability test itself has four parts. Okay, I know it sounds confusing, so if you have a piece of paper, maybe you can draw a little diagram and put this on paper or go back and rewind and start drawing something like this. The difficulty here is in a podcast, I can't show any visuals, but hopefully I can make some repetitions and make you remember these things. Okay, so four parts, coming back to where I was, four parts in the scalability test are the addressable market test, the cost of goods sold test. Number three is limited increase in cost of goods sold with growth. And the last in this particular leg is the cost of customer acquisition test. Okay, so these are the four things. And I'll run down each one of these in more detail. So the first one is the addressable market test. First of all, you must understand that in a typical startup environment, you need to have a very large addressable market that you are chasing. Only then you can talk about growing rapidly, being able to capture a very large market or a sizable market that generates a certain magnitude of income. And for the sake of argument, I'm saying that you should be keeping a target of about 30 million in 5 years, okay? And the way I arrived at that is typically an early stage startup looks to $2 to $3 million in funding. Now, valuations that investors expect is at least, you know, 6 to 10 times at that stage. So unless you are chasing $30 million in revenues that you can realize, it would be difficult for any investor to consider your startup as an attractive startup. So that's in a nutshell what I mean by the addressable market test. And quite simply put, to summarize that, it means that if you can show that you can capture with reasonable accuracy, well, accuracy is a difficult word, reasonable conviction is a better word, I think, a reasonable conviction that you can get $30 million or more in sales, more is better, but not less. Within 5 years, you have passed the addressable market test. Okay, so that was that one. Now, the second part of scalability assessment or test is the cost of goods sold. There is a ratio. Now, cost of goods sold, you know, for those who are not completely familiar with accounting terms, is everything that you are spending money on in producing your product or your service, all that cost goes into your, you know, like the cost, the total cost of making or creating that service, making that product or creating that service. And then you're going to sell it. That is your selling price. So the margin between the cost of producing that product or service, the total cost, you know, salaries, your rent, your everything, you know, you have to take everything into account. And then what you're selling it to your end customer, the difference between the two should be at least 50% more, or the selling price should be 50% more than what it cost you to produce that product. Now, if it's even more than that, it's fantastic. And you might ask me, how are you coming up with all these? I'm just basing it on gut feeling and looking around me and seeing what's going on. Now, if you have this kind of a margin, you can tell why investors find it attractive and interesting. So that's the cost of goods ratio explained. The third one is related to the first one, and this is an interesting one. And this is where the scalability part comes in. When you start producing more, meaning like when your customer base is growing, you have to somehow show that the cost of creating that product or service is not going up substantially. Meaning that, let's say you're making a product for 5,000, like some kind of a cool type of battery or something like that, and you're selling it for 12,000. So your margin is 7,000, which means it's definitely more than 50%, because 50% would have been another 5,000, but you're selling it for 12, so 7,000 is a good margin. Now, let's say all of a sudden you have to, instead of making, you know, 500 a month, that's what you're doing, and you suddenly have to produce 5,000 a month. And all of a sudden you find that your manufacturing process is such that instead of it costing you 5,000 to make one unit like before, it's all of a sudden costing you 8,000 or 9,000. Now that margin between the cost of goods sold and the selling price has suddenly narrowed. So now that is a problem, okay? So that's what we mean by the ratio has to remain constant or at least stay attractive, okay?